We're so glad you joined us today. There is so much that God wants to do in and through you, and we want to hear about it. Please take a moment to share your story with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.
So it's weird. So over the last couple of weeks, really we've done a lot of fight focused, messages. The guys have dug it. But I kind of want to back up into January. I believe it was when we started this. We started with okay is not okay. And then we talked about vision. And most of the time when you hear vision, you hear it from a church perspective where there's a lack of vision, people perish. And that's kind of like every pastor's January service where we talk about where the church is going and all that stuff. But I think there's a little bit more to it than that. I think if you don't have a vision for who you are and where you're going, that you're never going to get there. You have to have a vision for what you're trying to become. And if you are what you're trying to become, I think your expectations are set pretty low for yourself. Matthew McConaughey, preacher, not really, he's not. Fool's gold, that's what I'm going to say. Matthew McConaughey in an interview said this. He said, they asked him who his hero was, and he said, me in a year, that would be my hero. And the guy came back and said, in a year, and said, are you your hero? And he said, no, me in 5 years would be who I really want to be. And then they came back and said, who's your hero now? And he said, me in 10 years. And the idea was that every year, every 3 years, every 5 years, every 10 years, his goal was just to become a better version of himself, not to be like everybody else. And I think sometimes in church, and I'm not trying to re-preach an old message, but I think sometimes in church what we do is we try to emulate, and we want to emulate, but we don't want to be imitators of other people. Like this, like Holly is Holly. Holly doesn't need to try to be Liz, but she can emulate some things as Liz as a leader. But you don't want to imitate. When I first got saved, I went and bought a polyester suit because that's what all pastors did. I've smashed my hair over and got the preacher hairdo. Wore wingtips. I like wingtips. I actually broke them back out with my blue jeans. But I took on what I thought that the look of a pastor should be. But forgot that it wasn't the package that it was in, but it was the content that was involved. And I'm not a suit guy. Like, I like wearing a suit like twice a year. Because every girl's crazy. Anyway, that wasn't in the hymn book either. You get what I'm saying, though. You know what I mean? Like there's times I want to dress up, but like coming to church on Sunday morning. It's like this. Some people say this, and this has to do with vision. Some people say, I have to go to church on Sunday morning. That's a mindset. I get to go to church on Sunday morning. When I was just a member, I would get up every morning and be like, hey, I get to go to church. And then I became a high-capacity volunteer. I started volunteering and worked my way up. And I was like, man, this is what I want to do every day. Like, I would show up at church to do menial stuff just because I like being at church. And then as my role grew, I look at Liz and Steve and Tracy and some of our key leaders when we sit down to have meetings. I'm like, guys, you're not going to believe this. We get to do this next week. I talked to a good pastor friend of mine. He's like, I'll burn out on church. And I'm like, dude, you know what the crazy thing is? Last night I was talking to him just for a minute. And he was like, man, what's going on? I said, dude, listen to this. In the morning, you get to get up and you get to go to church and make that church anything you want it to be. Do you know the crazy thing about your life is you get to get up tomorrow morning and you get to be anything you want to be? Yeah, but you don't know what I used to do. Man, I don't care what you used to do. You get to get up tomorrow and be anything you want to be. So I'm not re-preaching that message, but I could. So then we left that and we talked about habits and how once you get a vision, you can have a vision. A lot of people have visions, but they don't have the habits to back up the vision. I watch basketball now. I just started this year. Yeah, whatever. No claps. Thank you. But so what happened was I started watching basketball this year, and I figured this out, that both teams start the game with the idea of winning, but only one team wins, so what's the difference? Do you know that very rarely, what I found is very rarely is it talent? Most of the time it's execution. You ever notice that when those guys are playing basketball, they're not sitting there watching the scoreboard while they dribble down, or when they take a shot, they're not seeing if the score changes? But we live our life as Christians that way. We're always keeping score, but we're not worried about the habits that it takes to be a success. I think this, that if you time after time after time do the right thing and you develop the right habits as a Christian, that you're not going to always get it right. But what you're going to do is you're going to figure out that at the end of the game, you're a winner. I was more happy. And then the other half of it was Just Do It. That was kind of a Nike ripoff. Where, you know what, we can talk about it all day long, but at some point you got to get up off your and do it. One of these days I'm going to get right. Well, you know what? One of these days you can go to the gym too. I went to the gym this week, by the way. I'm proud of myself. And I did the rowing machine. Like for, I was going to go for 30 minutes. My son called me at 15. I was like, thank God. I got done. My arms were like this. I felt like a T-Rex walking around. I was like, I'm going to get something to eat. You know what I mean? Because I couldn't move arms. So we talked about that. There's just a point in your life when you just have to do it. If you can talk about being a good dad, or you can talk about being, at some point you just got to be what God's called you to be. And then we talked about get off the leash, because one of the things that keeps you on the leash is fear. And remember, I had the big retractable leash. I'm getting to go off Instagram. So I had one of the guys hold the one end of the retractable leash, and I took off running like this with this leash. And when I got right here, I turned right and I hit the first person in the head. And then everybody else ducked, because here's the thing. When you begin to let fear take a hold of your life, not only does it affect your life, it affects everybody's life around you. And we talked about how peace is kind of like a big dog, and we used kind of a static leash. And we figured out that if you've got a big dog, I had a golden retriever, and he did not understand. I love golden retrievers. Love. They just love stupid. You know what I mean? Like they're just dumb dogs. I mean, they're smart, but like, well, anyway, it's a whole different world. And so what I would do is I'd wrap my hand around his leash and I would hold him right off my hip. And what we talked about was that a lot of times keeping your peace near you required intentionality. That if you're gonna have peace and you're gonna have joy, you're gonna have to work at keeping it. And so that kind of took us to keep fighting. And we talked about that in a boxing match, the quickest boxing match was six, or UFC fight was 6 seconds. I'd have been mad if I paid to go to a UFC fight and it was over in six. I can't even get my first handful of popcorn in 6 seconds, and I want to see somebody get a beatdown that takes a while. You're judging me right now. I can feel it. The longest boxing match ever recorded was 110 rounds, and it was stopped because both fighters were too delirious to come out of their corners. And what we talked about was sometimes when we face something, we want God to change everything in 6 seconds. But sometimes it's 110 rounds, and are you willing just to keep getting up and swinging at being the best version of you and that kind of thing? Are you willing to do that every week and every round? Because it may be a one-round fight. It may be a 110-round fight. Are you going to go to you don't have anything left in the tank? Then the next week, we talked about get up. And there's a scripture that says this, and it says, though a man falls 7 times, he rises again. But an unrighteous man falls in his sin and stays down. So really, the only difference between Christians and non-Christians, and this is the lie that I think the church has maybe helped propagate, and I apologize for that, is we sell an illusion of perfection rather than resilience. It's not about not falling. So if you're under the illusion that you're going to try to come to church and become perfect, I'm going to release you from that right now. You're one trip from Walmart away from needing to repent, right? And so it's not about falling, but rather it's about getting back up. And the only difference between a person who's right with the Lord and a person who's wrong with the Lord is the person who will get back up and do it again. So then we left that, and we talked about focus last week, and we pretty much said that you know what, that if the Lord calls you to something, you have to keep your vision, and you have to keep that whole deal. So today, man, I've been on like this real macho kick for a while, where everything was like, all of our graphics were like boxing rings and people getting knocked out and all that stuff. And today I'm kind of shifting gears a little bit, because I was reading this scripture and it got stuck in my head, and then I turned on the radio to the spiritual channel, and I heard this song by the Reverend Michael Jackson. And I really want to sing it, but I can't. But I'm going to. And it's going over the internet, so people are going to make fun of me on social media and all kinds of stuff. But it goes like this. It goes, I'm looking at the man in the mirror, and I'm asking him. You know it, right? And now it's like going to be burned into your mind the rest of the day. You are going to be cooking lunch going, trying to do your best Michael Jackson, like pre-puberty voice guys that you ever had. But I like that sign. I was like, man, I'm looking at the man in the mirror, but I'm asking him to change his ways. And I sat there and I kind of looked at it and I was like, God, that's me. Like I don't know where you're at in your faith journey. Maybe you're trying to decide whether you're going to start one, or maybe you've been on it a long time. But really, the person that I wrestle with the most, for a long time I thought it was the devil, and then I figured out it was me. I'm not saying that the devil doesn't have anything to do with it. I'm just saying that ultimately, it's my call. Like I'm the one. Have you ever heard this expression, the devil made me do it? No, he didn't. He gave you an opportunity to do it. But you did it. You're brand new, right? Never been here before. Watch this. I got my hand up. Now, if we were playing sports, what would you do? I didn't make him do that. I gave him an opportunity. I don't know. I other than shaking your hand and saying good morning, I don't know you, correct? If I looked at him and said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to hand you this mic, and I want you to sing solo in front of all these people. He would have looked at me and said, no. And no amount of I don't know if you can sing or not, but probably no amount of peer pressure would have got you to do that. So here's the reality. I'm not trying to pick on you, but here's the reality is that the devil doesn't make us do. The devil just presents opportunity to see if we'll swing at it. So maybe sometime, man, this is going to sound so weird because it's a little counterintuitive, but maybe we've given the devil a little bit too much power and taken it out of our own hand. But coupling it with all of our other teachings, we understand this, that if I look at the man in the mirror, if I go to James 1, let's pick up about 22. It says this, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And I read this, let me finish reading it. And he said, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. And this one will be blessed in what he does. Here's the thing. I figured something out that maybe the mirror that I need to really look at. And because for a lot of times, here's what I thought. Here's what I really interpreted this at. And I don't know that it's 100% off, but we need to be hearers of the word, not doers of the word. Okay. What does that even mean? Now, when I grew up, this is a scripture preachers just beat you over the head with. You need to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. We need you to show up and rake leaves, right? If you heard this dumb, and if you didn't grow up in church, this doesn't make any sense to you. But could it be that the reason Jesus used the analogy of a mirror is because really when we look at the Word of God and we read something, then what we do is actually see a reflection of who we have the possibility to become. That was good. You didn't react at all. I don't know if you agreed with me or I just stunned you by that statement. And maybe the reason that sometimes we have a hard time reading the Word of God is maybe not because we don't understand it. Like, I'm not one to say start in Genesis and start reading forward because I figure the world's here. It doesn't really matter how it got here. I mean, I'm not saying never go back and read that, but I'm saying especially if you're going, hey, I want to look at the man in the mirror, that's probably not the place to start. But if you fast forward to like when Jesus got here, like starting John, and Jesus says crazy stuff like this. I want you to love your neighbor. Same way you love you. That's a mirror moment. When I look at him, I'm like, Jesus, I love my neighbor like me, the ones I like. But then a guy tries to trip Jesus up. He studied the church all his life, and he said, "Well, Jesus, who is our neighbor?" Jesus, and I'm gonna probably preach this next week, so I don't want to take too much of it. But Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan, and if you read that story, the guy who's trying to trip Jesus up won't even say Samaritan because he dislikes Samaritan so much he doesn't even want to say it. It's like Duke and Carolina fans; they don't even want to say that other school. Democrats and Republicans. You know, there's us and then there's them. There's thick crust and thin crust people, and then there's them. You know what I'm talking about? There's whole percent and then fat-free milk drinkers. And you're in one camp or the other. I got people about to debate it. It's skim! No, I'm just kidding. But when you look, this guy was so against that kind of people that when Jesus said that, he was forced to look at his own heart. Now, here's the error. Here's what I do or have done in the past. And I just want to, can I set you free in something just for a minute? Because when I look in the mirror of the Word and I see what I'm supposed to become, what I try to do is I try to become it all at one time. Anybody ever decide that you're going to get right? And you're living like the devil? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe not in your whole life, but like you've got some issues. Do me a favor. If you don't have issues, will you please stick your hand up? Because I'd like to help you find a church where you're going to fit in. Okay, so can we say we all have issues? Anybody here not failed this week? You're like walking in the fullness of everything God has for you with no sin in your life. Worship team. Preacher. Looking around. Okay, so has anybody tried to do something this week that you felt like the Lord wanted you to become, but you failed at it? Now, will those people stick their hands up? Okay, if you don't have your hand up, did you try to do anything with your life this week for Jesus? I'm just trying. Does this make sense? So is it okay to say that we've established that you're going to look in the mirror and that you're not always going to be able to become what you want to become? I grew up with three sisters, and then I married my wife. And here's what I found out. Every one of them has a makeup mirror. And a couple of times in your life, you will hear them make this statement. You'll hear makeup slam into the drawer or into a bag. You'll hear that bag slam shut. You'll hear a sigh that all the carbon in the world just went out of their body. Well, I guess this is as good as it's going to get. That's the thing, you guys. Amen. That's the place in this message where everybody gets. And what you're really hearing is them settle. Dude, I'm going to say this. As a guy, have you ever tried to look good, like for your lady? And you put on everything you own, and you're still not going to look like the dude off the movie. You know, the one where she went, he's fine, and you're like, I'm fine too. I can't breathe anymore, but I look good. And then you look in the mirror, and you go, well, this is as good as it's going to get. Because you know what? Sometimes I think that we forget looking in the mirror. Now, let me ask you a question. Did you, those of us that have maybe a little bit more around the middle, did you get a little bit more around the middle all at once? Let me ask you a question. If you got gray hair, did you get them all at once? Yes. We need to pray for some people here. Some of y'all evidently were like Benjamin Buttons. You were just like born old. I don't know. That was not what I expected you to say. Most of us normal people, I'm just kidding. You're not normal. I'm playing. Most of our weight came on a little bit at a time. It came on like one Big Mac doesn't hurt you, but it's the 400 you've eaten over the last decade. No, really. It wasn't the one gray hair that anybody noticed. It was when they started. It became 2 and then 5 and then 15 and then 40 and then. See, I don't think that you got into the place that you're at, even with sin, all at one time. You made one decision. And you quit looking in the mirror of the Word to see what you really looked like. Have you ever started doing something and then you turned around and looked in the mirror? It's like, especially in North Carolina in the summer. Yeah. And you started mowing the yard and you looked okay, but you walked by your truck and you looked in the mirror and you went, oh my gosh, when did that happen? Like, because your hair's different directions, you got grass stuck to the side of your face, and there's dirt all over. You know, you have to hose off before going to get a shave. You know what I'm talking about? And you're like, when did it happen? See, sin is that way, because what happens is when we don't come to church and we don't read the Word of God and we don't keep looking in the mirror to what we're supposed to be, we get so out of shape from what we were meant to be. Because see, I think that God created you to be something. Like something really special. Like, I think that every dad in here was created to be a good dad. I think every mom in here was created to be a good mom. I think that every wife was created to be a good wife. I think that every child was created with all the potential to be everything that God wants them. Does this make sense? And that maybe the thing that gets us off isn't always the devil. Maybe sometimes is we make one little decision that turns into another little decision. And then we look in the mirror and we don't know how to get back. Because I'm going to say this, putting this weight on has been a whole lot easier than getting it off. But you know what I figured out? I figured out this, that maybe the days that I don't want to go to the gym and do a whole lot are the days when I'm going to make the most gains. Not because I'm lifting more, but just because I showed up. Does that make sense? Maybe sometime as a Christ follower, maybe I just need to show up when I don't want to. Maybe I just need to read the Word when I don't want to. Maybe I just need to make the decision to be a good husband when I don't want to. Maybe I need to make the decision to be a good dad when I don't want to. And knowing that I'm going to fail, but I want you to imagine this. If you looked at yourself this week and you said, you know what, every day I'm going to get 1% better. So let's say in an average day you make 10,000 decisions. 1% of 10,000 is what? 10. I hope she's right because I'm not a math guy. What is it? 100 decisions, right? So what? I like 10. 100? Does anybody have a calculator? Because now I feel like my message is going off track. Okay, let's say you make 100 decisions in a day, because I can do this in my head. 100 decisions in a day, how many, to get 1% better, how many different decisions do you have to make? One. That's all I got to make. 10 times that would be 10, you were right. Isn't that right? Correct? There you go. Man, I'm liking that. 10 sounds a whole lot better. It works with my message a whole lot better. So my point is this, that if you make 1,000 decisions in the day and you say, you know what, today I'm going to make 10 better decisions. Does 10 out of 1,000 sound like a whole lot? But in a week, you've made 70 better decisions. Well, that doesn't, out of 1,000, 70 really isn't that many, right? But if you did it over a month, if you did it over 6 months, do you see how real life change starts to happen? I want you to notice this. Jesus meets Peter, and Peter's running his fishing boat and all that. And at the end of this whole little meeting, Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, if you follow me, I'll make you into something. Now imagine if Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, if you follow me, you're going to cut a dude's ear off. We're going to put it back on. You're going to dig gold out of a fish's mouth. You're going to cast out demons. You're going to watch sick people get healed. You're going to do all this stuff. And then you're going to fall away from me. You're going to deny me 3 times. Then you're going to jump off a boat and swim to me, and I'm going to restore you. And then at the end of it, they're going to crucify you. You in? Pass. Do you know what Jesus did? Because Jesus knew that Peter couldn't take the whole journey. All Jesus said was, Peter, will you make one change? Right? Then Peter starts following Jesus, and Jesus looks at him and says, okay, now I'm going to teach you about prayer. So now here's what I want you to do. I just want you to follow me, and I just want you to learn how to talk to God. And then he said, okay, Peter, now that you've learned how to follow me, now that you've learned how to talk to God, here's what I want you to do. I want you to talk to other people about me. What do I need to tell them, Jesus? What do you know about me? So Peter starts having these conversations. And then Jesus looks at him and says, okay, Peter, who do you think that I am? And then they leave that. And then they go out on a storm. And Peter just flips out. And he says, Jesus, if that's you, let me walk out to you. And then Peter walks out to Jesus, But then it gets flipped out by looking at the winds and the waves. That's one interpretation. I think he was talking smack to the other 11 dudes in the boat. Because you got to understand, if you put 11 type A personalities in one boat, smack is coming. Because you got to understand, these were 12 ordinary men. They're like 12 of y'all. Now, I know Sonny and Kendall well enough to know, and Mark well enough to know, that if those three guys are playing tiddlywinks from the nursery, whoever's wins, it's on. Especially Kendall. Kendall's going to, because he's a big dude, he's jumping on the table and flexing, and he's calling himself the tiddlywink champion of the world. That's okay. The disciples did it this way. Jesus, which one of us will be the greatest in your kingdom? Well, you got moms getting involved. It's like soccer moms. Hey, can my son sit on the right and left side of you when you get there? Forget about the 10. I'm worried about my 2. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus looks at her and says, man, you don't even get it. It's about you getting a little bit better. Why don't you worry about, rather than worrying about where your sons are sitting, why don't you worry about how they're living? Really look in the mirror. Take the word and look in the mirror and go, you know what? What if I decided that I was going to get 1% better every day this week? This doesn't just affect your faith walk. This affects the person the word is talking about. It says, when you look into the perfect law of liberty, God said this. What does the word of liberty mean? It means that there's freedom in the word of God. Freedom to do what? To be you. You ever notice that when people come to church, first thing they want to do is change the way they dress, talk, watch, sing, where they go? What if we just said, hey, maybe the first thing you need to do is 1%. Maybe you just need to show up and we'll love you. Hey, have you ever accepted Jesus? Maybe that's a 1% change that you need to make in your life. Maybe your way isn't working. Maybe God needs to speak into your life. Maybe beyond that, you need to learn how to pray. Yeah, but I still got all these problems. Okay, don't worry about those. What about this one little thing? Women, do you put your makeup on in like a sheet? Some of y'all, kind of. I don't even want to know. Because look, you see your wife going, okay, it's time for bed. Yeah, I'm leaving. I'm just letting you know it's time to go. Paul was right. It's better for a man to be single than. No, I'm just kidding. If you ever watch a woman do makeup, I'm going to get this off. They start with like a base layer, foundation, and then they go eyes or eyebrows or. And it's like layered on. Like, have you ever walked in to talk to your wife like halfway through one half of her face? And you're like, hey, I'll be back in a minute. Hey there. Anyway, I'm just leave that alone because I got to go home. My point is it comes on in layers, right? You get dressed in layers. You brush your hair in layers. You brush your teeth in layers. You soap in layers. Some of us start with the top and work our way down. So I know people that work their way up, which doesn't make any sense to me. So if every other part of you cleaning up comes in layers, doesn't your salvation come in layers? Doesn't your sanctification is like a fancy word for getting more right with God? Doesn't it make sense that happens in layers? That maybe, like, rather than going home and going, okay, I'm throwing out all the movies and I'm throwing out the internet and we're turning off the electricity and we're only going to read the Bible by candlelight and whittle our own furniture and write. Maybe we go, okay, you know what? I'm going to be on Facebook 1% less so that I can read the word a little bit, so that I can look into it and see the reflection of who I'm supposed to be. Because the more I look in the mirror, the closer to the image that I want to portray can I become. When my son and I clean the house, Tracy does too. Sometimes we try to shock her by cleaning up. We take one room at a time. So like, I'm not in the living room worried about what's going on in the kitchen. So if you show up at my house in that moment, you're going to walk in and be like, man, y'all got it going on in your living room. And I'm going to be thinking, don't look in the kitchen. Sometimes in my spiritual life, my living room is cleaned up. And if that's all you're looking at, I look pretty good. But don't look in my kitchen. Have you ever cleaned the house by shoving it in the closet? And that's the one time your company wants to hang their coat up. Here's the other problem with church, and this has to do with being real and really looking in the mirror. And I talked about this in my leaders meeting this morning. One time I played church league softball, and my wife wouldn't let me play church league softball because every time I play church league softball, I break a part of my body. Don't ask me how in, like, church softball. Anyway, and one day I'm playing, and I slide into second, and some crazy stuff goes down. Well, anyway, a guy ends up landing on me, and I jam my hand into second base. And I heard a little pop in it, but I didn't think anything about it, right? Because I'm a guy. And you don't get up and go, I'm hurt. You get up and rub some dirt on it. So I go to bat, and I made contact with the ball, and when I did, whatever popped, that pop became magnified. And I pulled my hand in and ran and played the rest of the game. I batted with one hand. Now, I'm not a good batter to begin with. Like, anyway. So I got done, and I knew that my hand was probably broken, but I didn't want to wake my wife up, who told me not to go to begin with. So what I did was I went to bed, because when I went home, she was asleep, and I just shoved my hand under the bed. But because the pulse in my hand was radiating through the rest of my body, I couldn't sleep. So I laid there in the bed with one hand under the pillow like this, waiting on her to wake up. And about 4 o'clock in the morning when she woke up, 4:30 to go to work, she said, "Hey, what are you doing up?" And I said, and I slid my hand out. And it's purple and it's black and it's swollen and all this stuff. And when I went to the doctor, here's what he said. He said something really ironic. He said, "You know, if you would have come to me when you first did this, you wouldn't have had to have been in pain so long." Here's what I figured out, that by not looking in the mirror and by trying to hide what's wrong with me, the only thing I'm doing is making my pain last longer. That sometimes the best way to deal with pain is just to drag it out in the open. To deal with problems is just to drag it out in the open and deal with it. Even if it's 1% at a time. And that's really when Jesus said, you know what he said? He said, or James said, he said, "I want you to look in the mirror, and when you leave, don't forget what you're supposed to look like. And get 1% better. And then come back the next day and look in that same mirror and see, am I 1% better?" Can you notice 1% of anything? No. But in a year, you'll notice it. In 6 months, you'll notice it. You won't notice skipping the gym one time, but it'll make a difference. You may not notice missing church one time. You may not miss reading the Word one time, but it'll show up in your reflection. Have you ever seen something on somebody and you just wish they'd look in a mirror? Like, you've been having lunch with somebody and they've got, like, it all, like, in their grill, like, you know what I'm talking about? And you're, like, going, "Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Ooh, I hate it when stuff gets stuck in my teeth." Don't you? "Yeah, I hate that too." Have you ever looked in this spoon? You can see your reflection. "Hey, drink some more water. Don't you have to go to the bathroom soon? Look in the mirror." You know, because you know what? A lot of times it's easier to see other people's issues than it is ours. But Jesus said this. He said, "But don't walk around with a plank in your eye and try to help your brother with a splinter." It's all about the reflection that you're looking at yourself with. This message isn't meant to bring condemnation to your life. It should bring freedom. You don't have to get there all at once. You don't. It's a process of, are you willing? Are you willing to try to get a little better? Are you willing to take one step closer to God? Does this make any sense to you? You are not going to be birthed in perfection right away. I had one of the greatest compliments. I was at a party thing yesterday, and somebody who knew one of our church members came up to me and said, "Can I talk to you for just a second?" I said, "Sure." And they said, "Do you know so-and-so that goes to your church?" Yeah, I've known him for years. What's up? And she said, what I've seen God do in his life over the last 2 years has amazed me. It hasn't been all at once, but little by little, I've noticed him changing to be a real person of God. I'm here to give you the freedom to be broken. This is not a church where everybody's perfect. As a matter of fact, we're probably more the other side of that. We're real enough to go, you know what? I've been in the faith long enough to know that you're never going to get there. If you're waiting to get it together, just give up. Give up on the, it's like being a mom and deciding you're always going to have your house perfectly clean. If you have children, just get rid of that. It's a fallacy. It's never going to happen. Once your kids move away, you think, if my kids move away, then I can keep a clean house. The problem is you're still married. Okay, so now I'm going to be by myself. Now the problem is there's only one person cleaning and dusting. And even if you clean and dust and you hire a housekeeper, here's the problem. Sooner or later, you're going to move an appliance. And you're going to find filth behind your washing machine and behind your refrigerator and behind your sofa. Do you know why? Because it's always a process. There are always parts of your life that when you allow the Lord to let you really look at them, you're always going to find dirt and you're always going to find room for improvement. Do you know why? Because the Lord wants to see how amazing He can make you. Does this make sense? But it's one decision at a time. It's one choice at a time. Now we understand this. We understand that the biggest decision that you can make is to give your life to Christ. That's like the first degree in the turn. If you're here today and you say, you know what, I've never accepted Christ. Or maybe I accepted Him a long time ago and I walked away with every head down and every eye closed. I don't want anybody looking around, staff, nobody. If you're here today and say, you know what, the first degree in my turn, I need to give my life to Christ. Will you just stick your hand up? Is there anybody? Okay, great. Will you all join in this prayer? Whether you raised your hand, and I thank you for the one who did, but whether you raised your hand or not, if you pray this prayer, we just are going to believe that you're going to ask Christ into your heart. We know that the Word says that if a man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then he shall be saved. The only condition of salvation is confession and belief. Will you pray this prayer with me? Dear Lord, I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I ask you to make me right in your sight. Father, I know that you love me. I know that you forgive me. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, guys, I'm going to encourage you to do one other thing this week. I want you to ask the Lord to show you what your 1% is. What does a 1% better version of you look like? Don't try to change the whole thing. I decided I was going to eat healthier, and so I quit buying Swiss cake rolls, and I quit buying Right, and it lasted like 2 days. It wasn't sustainable. So you know what I did? The last time I went to the store, I didn't tell my wife to buy Swiss cake rolls. I let her buy everything else normal. Just don't buy them. And once I kind of get used to that, then I'm going to have her not buy potato chips. Or buy some false version that lies to me and tries to tell me it's, but do you know what I'm talking about? Veggie crisps. Are you feeling me? Because I can't do it all at once. You know what, in my faith, I can't do it all at once. I've got to make one little decision. I've just got to get this thing right and get it down and look in the mirror and be okay with it. The rest will take care of itself. It's like compound interest. It pays off over time. The Lord said this. The Lord said, and I who am faithful and just to forgive you. He goes on and says, and my mercies for you are new every day. Meaning this, that if you make this 1% thing and you fall, just get up until it becomes habit, until it becomes part of your DNA. Do you receive it this morning? Father, we just thank you so much for the day. God, we thank you for an opportunity to be in your house. God, we just ask that you let this word take root, God, and raise up and grow something special inside of us. God, I just ask that right now, God, you let us get 1% better this week, God. Every day that we're just pressing to become just a little closer, a little bit more devoted to you, God. And in that, we're going to give you the praise. We're going to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in to Thrive Church. We hope today's message touched your life. You can share your testimony with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.